breaking records in the city where I live. Yeah, it's another episode of Breaking Records, episode number 3, and I'm your host, Kelly K. Fresh Frazier. And the guest for this episode is a return guest for me, but this time for Breaking Records. It's mixer, engineer, producer, guitarist, all around jack of all trades in the music business, producer extraordinaire for all sorts of deathcore and metalcore and heavy metal bands, Will Putney, guitarist for the deathcore metal band Fit for an Autopsy, who recently released their latest album, The Sea of Tragic Beasts, via Nuclear Blast Records. While catching up with Will Putney this time, we get to talk about Fit for an Autopsy. And he shared how the band brought in some new influences on this new album, and the influence of producing for other bands, what makes a good song, their writing and recording process, and then also all about their live shows. And they're currently on the road on a headlining tour, which is awesome because every time, and you'll hear it right in a few moments, every time Fit for an Autopsy comes to the Detroit area, they're on a supporting slot, and I can't get there in time to see them. So I'm so psyched to be able to go see them at The Sanctuary in Hamtramck, Michigan on the 22nd of November. Awesome. All right, let's get on to the interview with Will Putney of the band Fit for an Autopsy. Great to catch up with you. I talked to you a few months ago about the plugins that you were doing, and it's good to be able to talk about a new album.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited.
Right. Yeah. When I last talked to you, I was telling you that every time Fit for an Autopsy comes to Detroit, I always end up missing you because either the line is long or I had to work late and you guys were on an opening slot. So I'm super psyched that your guys are on a headlining tour and I'll be able to come see Fit for an Autopsy when you come to Detroit.
There you go. Finally get it.
Hell yeah, it's going to kick ass, you know. Finally have another album coming out. You know, it's the Sea of Tragic Beasts. You know, sort of, what was the sort of mood of the band when going in making this record? Was there anything different than the previous records that you want to try to accomplish?
I think we were just excited. Like, we had a decent amount of success off the last record. I feel like it sort of moved the band forward more than any album ever had. And we were just pumped that people were into like the kind of stylistic shift that we had started on the last record. So going into this one, you know, we just felt confident a little more so than in the past and kind of knew, yeah, we like what we're doing and people are starting to like what we're doing too. So we kind of just wanted to keep going down that route, you know.
Talk more about that stylistic shift that you were talking about. You know, how did people react to it, and what more did you do? Like, what did you do on this record to sort of, you know, solidify it?
I think we just brought more outside influence in of music that we liked. You know, we started as this kind of down the line, straightforward, heavy band. You know, it was chaotic and brutal, and it was just a kind of relentless and just never breathed or never gave you like a break, you know, on The Great Collapse and even on Absolute Hope, the record before that. We just kind of started to work in some of the other influences and other genres of music that isn't even particularly metal per se, that we were you know, we just like and we're fans of. And some of the post-rock elements and some of the more kind of like stonery stuff and the little more ambient textural stuff, like it all kind of worked its way into our formula and it became more of like a staple for the band. And on this record, I feel like we do, could we just keep going in that direction, just trying new things and exploring new stuff that we like.
Right. Yeah, there's always a sort of debate, you know, amongst, you know, fans of heavy music when a band sort of progresses into different different sounds in comparison to like the sound that sort of got them to the show. You know, what's your idea about a band, you know, adding new things or changing it up with each record?
I mean, I think things get stale, and in the genre we were in with the bands we were touring with and stuff, we sort of got a little tired of it all also. So it's like, if you're in that position and you're doing that day in and day out, you kind of want to do what you're into. And, you know, that kind of leads to a progression from what you start to, you know, you nobody really listens to the exact same music that they listened to 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
So it's like tastes change and people change and you just figure out what kind of music you want to make and what you're going to be happy with and happy with playing live. And that's just what you put out there, you know? So a lot of bands kind of hit that realization, like, hey, like we like this better. We want to do this, you know, and then some succeed, some don't. It's just part of that process of making music where you just have to figure out what you want your identity to be, you know, in that world. And, you know, for us, it was like, luckily it was like pretty seamless because we never abandoned anything we've done in the past. We always play our own material and we still have those elements in our songs. It's not like such a drastic shift. It's just, you know, moving the ship slowly towards some other stuff, but keeping what was, you know, unique or interesting about the band, you know, from the beginning intact. So the kids who did support us early on and who still want to like our band still have that opportunity to.
As somebody who's been a producer of so many great metal albums, how does working with all these other bands, you know, influence working with Fit for an Autopsy? You know, is there any sort of influence in making, you know, making the Fit for the Autopsy records?
Yeah, there is. I mean, anytime you're just working with creative people or artists that you back or inspired by, you're always like picking up tricks or taking cues from that. I feel like most of all, it kind of steers me into what I know I don't want to do with the band.
Right.
I guess I'm doing a lot of records and kind of seeing like trend stuff happening and people feeling like they need to have this kind of thing in their music or that. It's sort of like race the fast roll. I'm like, you know, I don't think I want to go that way ever with our music. I don't want to do that, or too many bands are doing this. You know, I want to try to avoid that. It kind of steers me away from some stuff that, you know, I could see, you know, is going to get tired soon. You know, I think the goal with the new album was to create songs that could like hold up the time a little more, you know, and a lot of the influence came from that too. Just going back to records that I still loved, like when I was a kid, that I think still hold up now, and trying to figure out why, like what was cool about them. Why are they still good? And some of these records that I put on now, I can't even listen to, you know? So it was like looking for that kind of like approach to create some kind of timeless songs and like avoiding things that seem to be just more like passing trends was like,
right,
maybe a little bit of what I get out of that too. But I don't know. Working with music all the time, it's just all mushes together in my head. And when I go to write songs or work with bands, it's just a sum of all the parts.
Right. When you kind of have all these things that are, you know, things that you don't want to do with Fit for an Autopsy, does it sort of, what sort of artistic freedom does that bring out in you where you know what you don't want to do, you know, where you can go, you can just kind of forget about those things and just kind of go elsewhere? What sort of freedom does that give you?
I mean, we just literally do what we want with our music. Like Nuclear Blast and even E1, our previous label, they've been great at like not getting in the way when it comes to that side of things. I'm lucky that the people who put out our records trust us to just kind of be left to do our thing, and then they'll support it. And we just make the music we want to play, like, without really considering like how it's going to go or how people are going to like it. I feel like a few records ago, when we switched singers and when we kind of started to move stylistically a little away from what we had started as, I was a little more concerned with it because I'd never been through it with my own band. And now, knowing that things are working out and everything's moving in the right direction, we just like trust our guts and do what we want.
You know, going back to, you know, you're saying that when you're looking for these, you know, these stylistic things to add to the band, you kind of looked at, you know, old records that you really enjoyed. You know, how did you sort of, you know, as someone who's in a band, but also a producer, but then also is a part of, you know, creating plugins for equipment and software, you know, you have all this knowledge. How do you go back and sort of, you know, pick apart these records that you liked in the past to sort of find things that you can add to your own band?
I feel like it all just comes down to like the core of what makes songs good, why it connects with people, or like why it reacts or makes you feel a certain way, you know. And when I'm like, you know, when I'm thinking about what I want our band to sound like or looking for influence or anything like that, I'm always just like reminded about the things that had impacts on me, and then I try to figure out why I felt like that, you know. Like, why was this song so crazy, like, when I first heard it? What about it? You know, and then I'll kind of jam in and see what the move was in the song, or, like, what the vibe was that made me feel that way. Or why is this thing so, like, epic? Or why does this song feel so sad, you know? And then you just kind of see how they painted that picture and see how that applies to what the style of music you play, and just kind of, you know, it's not a case of like actually buying lists. It's more of about like how they move the song to create an emotion, right? You know, and that's like kind of what I'm more, that's kind of more where I was looking at, you know, some of the better, classier songwriters in our world and stuff, how they were able to like paint these pictures that gave you these feelings in the songs. And then I just applied that to the style of music that we put.
You know, when making something that turns out to be a good song, you know, what do you feel like is an important element of that for the listener out there to really gravitate towards it?
I feel like, I mean, there's so many things that, right, this conversation could be a year long, but it's, you know, obviously what you're saying is important, just as important as the music for me, at least. And the approach to the lyrics and how to convey a message so that it adds some weight to the song and it's not just kind of falling on deaf ears is really important. That's like what makes the difference between a timeless song and one that will be forgotten, you know? And it's just like, it's back to what I said. It's just how bands can create a mood or an emotion with the music. It's not even dependent on any specific part of the song or piece of music for me. It's more so about like how does the whole song make you feel, you know? And like, I feel like that's something we tried to do on the new record a little more, where songs are gonna make you feel a different way, you know. And that's like, for me, it's a little more interesting. It's like to create stir up those kind of feelings, like from track to track, where it like keeps it interesting, right? You know, a lot of kids don't get through entire albums nowadays, and it's just single bass and stuff. But I wanted to try to have a record that kept you kind of engaged. And I feel like being able to be a little unpredictable in that sense, where song by song, like, you're kind of left with a different feeling is a really cool way of making people stay interested in your band.
Right. When writing songs for Fit for an Autopsy, is, you know, do you guys write the, you know, write the music first or the lyrics, or is there a back and forth?
It depends. I think most of the time we're coming up with instrumental stuff first, but every once in a while there'll be like a vocal idea or a theme that we know we want to like kind of build a part around. So sometimes bits of songs will start lyrically and then kind of we'll kind of flesh out instrumentals around it so that it kind of supports what the vocal idea is. And I just see that as like another instrument. So it's like if that instrument is taking the lead here, then, you know, that's what you start with. And then you kind of work around that. But it kind of depends. It's a little bit of both.
You know, going into this album, did you guys talk about sort of the specific, like, content that you're going to have in the songs, the moods, the, you know, how deep you're going to go into the sort of content of it all?
Yeah, I mean, we're always, like, we're kind of trying to lay out an idea of what we want to accomplish before we do it. Some of the stuff was kind of premeditated where we knew we wanted a song that had a certain type of thing, or we knew we wanted to talk about a certain topic, and then some of it just came out in the writing process. There's a few like surprise tracks where I thought I was going to write one thing and this song wound up going a different way, and then I just had some new idea that I hadn't thought of previously, you know.
As someone who has been a producer of so many bands, when you're working with your own band in Fit for the Autopsy, is there any times when, whether it's the vocalist or any of the musicians in the band, when you're in the studio, that you feel like someone might be holding back? And if there is, you know, how do you sort of get past that obstacle?
Generally, people try their best, you know. I think maybe sometimes bands have reservations because they're a little worried about how they're going to be perceived or if it's okay for them to do a certain type of thing or put a certain type of element in their song. But, you know, I've been fortunate in the past few years. I've kind of worked with bands who kind of knew what they wanted to do, have a good idea of what the identity of their band is. And like, we're normally able to just get through that without really any hesitation.
When going back to, sort of those elements from past albums that you, you know, you like to get inspired from, you know, who are some of the bands, some of the albums that kind of come to mind that really influenced, you know, these newer Fit for an Autopsy records?
I feel like the new one, we definitely took some cues from like some of the classic, like, Swedish melodic death metal stuff. It's a lot of the big part of like my introduction to metal early on was like those, that whole pile of like late 90s, early 2000s records where you had like At the Gates and Soilwork and Arch Enemy and In Flames and like that era of bands.
Yeah.
And all the music that came out of that scene at that time was just like, I just love that, you know. We've always had a little piece of it, and on the new record we definitely like went a little further down that hole because we all just love that stuff. We thought it would be cool to have like a little more of that show in our band. You know, it's fun to play and like it creates really cool melodies. And there's a lot you can do with that. And I feel like that's why that stuff was so successful too, because you can really get crazy with those songs. And we definitely kind of leaned into that a little more than we ever had, you know. And then I just also, you know, we like a lot of stuff that's kind of outside of metal. It's more in the, like, I'm a big fan of a lot of kind of instrumental post-rock kind of bands. And
yeah,
we've taken like, just, they're just so good at painting moods, especially without a singer. It's really interesting to see how these bands can create intensity and create like different feelings in that style without even having a vocalist. So I'm always like interested in that stuff. And we kind of pepper them around throughout the record, and like I try to keep those elements around. I think it's cool. I think it's a cool way to like use a heavy song and then have moments that take you somewhere else. And there's some more of that, you know. I feel like those two things probably stand out the most to me is like what we're doing that isn't just like a traditional death metal record anymore.
Right. When you're sort of peppering in those influences where there's from bands that are just instrumental bands, you know, what sort of things did you learn about that, and how do you feel like it helped the new Fit for an Autopsy record?
I just like I said, I just like how they're able to create an emotion without doing much lyrically, you know. So it's pretty much like it just helps set a tone for a song, you know. And that was like a big part of it. Like obviously we're gonna have riffs and there's gonna be vocals and it's gonna be aggressive through a majority of my record, but it's cool that like we can use some more of those instrumental moments to like kind of give you the sense of what like the back kind of give you the score for what we're trying to convey emotionally with the lyrics, you know.
Right. How much thought goes into, you know, especially with this new album, of, you know, of playing these songs live, you know, does that factor into the writing and recording of them?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we definitely like everything on this record we wanted to play live. You know, we never go overboard on the album where something isn't going to translate live. And we kind of like make sure whatever we're doing is playable and can be executed so that Joe's got the space he needs so he can sing the stuff correctly live and nothing's like too over the top where it's impossible, you know. I think like a lot of my favorite bands are the ones who do have the songs that translate live where you see them live and it's like better than it was on the record and it's not like a struggle to try to recreate that in a live setting, you know. So we're always like conscious of it because nobody wants to do something on the record, get kids fired up about a song and then not be able to pull that off live. It's definitely like a thing we make sure we can handle, you know.
You know, and like I said, like every time you guys come to town, I miss you guys because one, you know, issue or another. But, you know, what is a Fit for an Autopsy show like live?
It's fun. We were just laughing at it the other day. It's hardcore kids beating up metal kids. That's what it's been lately. But it's cool because we've been lucky enough to do a lot of touring with different kinds of bands the past few years. So you'll get a little mix of everything at our shows now, which is really cool because it's just kids who like heavy, cool music who aren't really biased on one side or another, and like it's a cool melting pot of the subgenres, you know. And it's fun and it's interesting to see like how these kids, like where they found us, you know, or like how that dude who doesn't really know death metal bands still comes out, or there's this older guy or this really young kid who only knows us from like some deathcore tour we did, and like it's all over the place, and it's really like it's really cool that we kind of can diversify who likes our band nowadays, you know. I think we're excited about it because it helps us kind of have a little sustainability, being able to reach out and connect to like different types of fans.
You know, what do you think it is about Fit for an Autopsy that you're able to sort of reach those kids, those fans that might be into other, you know, subgenres of heavy music?
I think it's a lot of stuff. I think it's just going out of the box, not just staying in one lane and specific subgenre. And I think lyrically having relevant things to say kind of globally translates, where it doesn't matter if you don't particularly love one type of metal or hardcore, but you still kind of back what the message is and you're kind of interested in it. I think just a sum of all the parts that we've, you know, tried to put together and make it appealing for people like, you know, different walks of life.
You know, outside of maybe just, you know, these different sort of fans that you're able to grab on all these tours that you've been doing, you know, you guys have toured with a wide array of other bands. You know, what are some things that you learned while on the road, you know, over the past couple of years, you know, from being on all these different tours?
Well, I don't do a lot of the touring, so I'm not really the best suited to answer that, but I can just say based off of what I've seen from my guys, you know, yeah. And it's definitely inspired the band to step up their, you know, their level of technical abilities and stuff, being able to tour with like, you know, world-class players and like some of the best guitar players and drummers and singers like in our world, and seeing how those pros execute that every night and how they take care of themselves and like their whole practice regimen and touring regimen, it's definitely rubbing off on the band, and they're taking cues from like those more veteran guys being, you know, going on tour with bands that have been on tour for 25 years. It's like, yeah, it's like just going to college on how to do it right, you know. And these, so that they've all picked up tips and tricks from, you know, the guys they look up to, who we've been fortunate enough to share the stage with, and now everyone's taken that and sort of start to apply it and be like, yeah, we got to be like this. Like, this is where, you know, this is where the band wants to be, and this is what it takes, and this is the type of, you know, this is the type of discipline that we need to have when we're on the road. You know, a lot of my guys have gotten healthier and
right,
exercised more, lost weight, they practice more. Like, they definitely, you know, it takes a lot to be able to pull off what we do correctly and good night, you know, every single night with different circumstances and a different environment. And, you know, you do have to, like, there's a physicality to it where you really just have to get yourself in that state to be able to do it correctly. And I think they've learned that over the years. You know, the band's, you know, significantly better off for it live because they're prepared for it now.
How has that influence, you know, shown in the studio when you're recording the albums in comparison to, you know, a few albums ago?
I mean, now that we're several albums in, we have our process and everybody knows, you know, what to do, what to expect, you know, how to prepare the right way, you know, what they know the strengths and weaknesses are of everybody's respective performance and how they can get prepared to kind of fix that. And, you know, it's just like, yeah, we preemptively before every record just kind of chat and we know what we're in for, you know, what's going to be tough and what everybody should be focusing on. So it's like, it's just knowing like what you need to work on before you get to the studio to make sure like you're in as good a shape as possible to execute the stuff. It's like, it's been good, you know, to get for everybody on that level lately. And yeah, I mean, it's for us, it's pretty easy, like, because I do so much at the studio, and, you know, our recording process is pretty compared to, you know, any other kind of band that I work with. I feel like ours is definitely on the easier side.
Okay, when the new album, you know, See a Tragic Beast, comes out October 25th, you know, what do you hope your listeners get out of listening to this album?
I just want people to like it for whatever reason. I don't really, you know, I feel like we do talk about some important stuff on this one, and, you know, I like that people can read into what we're saying and what we're doing and sort of connect with that. And, you know, we're definitely not a positive band per se. There's no real, like, happy ending in any of our music. It's obviously dark stuff, but at least it gets you, like, thinking, and it's relatable. So, you know, I like it when people can just agree and feel the way we feel about certain things, you know. And that's, like, in its own way, it's therapeutic. And, you know, that's cool. We just want people to, hopefully people find something in it that they like and connect to.
Great. And, you know, besides the, you know, the new Fit for an Autopsy record, and is there anything else that you are currently working on? Anything else that you can talk about right now?
We've got plenty of stuff in the pipeline here. I've been making records pretty nonstop all year, so there's some really cool stuff coming out of the studio in 2020 that I'm excited about. I think the same week or within a week of our record, there'll be a Karen Parks record, a Straight From the Path record, and a Norma Jean record. All of them we just did through this spring and stuff. So it's like, it's going to be a fun release week for everybody over here, because all the boys have albums coming out.
Awesome. Awesome. So, yeah, before we get out of here, you know, where can people go online to get more information about what you're doing, what Fit for an Autopsy is doing, you know, promote your stuff?
Yeah, I mean, our record's up for pre-order now. If you go to the seaoftragicbeasts.com, that's our, you know, store, and you can watch our videos, our tickets, you know, our ticket links for our upcoming headliners there. The record comes out October 25th, and we start a tour the day before that. The full U.S. tour will be everywhere that month. And yeah, I mean, you can just find us. We're easy to find. We're all on social media. You know, just chuck a follow and see what we're up to.
Awesome. It's been great catching up with you again, Will. It's always great to talk with you. And good luck with all the slew of releases that you have coming up.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me.
So that was my interview with Will Putney. It was great to catch up with him and talk about the new Fit for an Autopsy album, The Sea of Tragic Beasts, released via Nuclear Blast Records. Links to purchase and stream the new album, along with links to be able to follow Will Putney and for an Autopsy online, will be in the show notes for this episode at freshofthepodcast.com. And if you're listening to this, please share the new podcast, Breaking Records, on your social media, to your friends, to your family, to your significant others, to strangers on the street. Got a lot of cool episodes in the works. Please rate and review the podcast, especially on Apple Podcasts. All you got to do is type in Breaking Records and it'll come up. So thanks for listening. Goodbye and good night. Breaking records in the city where I live.